It is the confluence of Parshas Vayeshev and Chanukah, Hapo Aleinu Latova. I decided to spend one day doing a little bit of the Hashkaf of Chanukah, the relationship between what I call Sipurei Yosef to the mitzvah of Chanukah. And let's take a look at a couple of marmakomos. So there's a well-known Gemara in Maseches Shabbos. And Daf Chav Beis Amid Aleph, very, very famous Gemara, and it's quoted by Rashi in this week's Parsha. Amar Rabbi Rav Kahana Doras Rabbi Nosson Bar Minyom and Mishmei Rav Tanchum. My Diksav Aborek Ein Bo Mayim Mimashu Shem Aborek Ein Yodesh Ein Bo Mayim Elamatam Dorim Bo Mayim Mayim Ein Bo Avon Nachoshim Da Akravim Yeshu. So that is the one line of Gemara. There's the Gemara Masechah Shabbos and Daf Chav Aleph through Chav Gimel Amid Beis discusses in Yanei Chanukah. Those are three blot in Shas that discuss Yanei Chanukah. In all those davim, there is one set of Gemaras. There's one piece of Gemara that's not Chanukah related. And that's it. And the question is, what is it doing there? What is its purpose? And the simple answer, the very, very balabata simple answer, is that this is part of a series of memories that is being said in the name of Rav Kahana, Doras, Rav Nosson, Bar Minyom, Mishmei, Rav Tanchum. And the only reason it's here is because of the Baal HaMemra. The Baal HaMemra is the same exact Baal HaMemra that you have in the prior Gemara. And the prior Gemara tells us, Amar Rav Kahana, Dorash Rav Nosson, Bar Minyom, Mishmei, Rav Tanchum, that you're not allowed to have a Chanukah menorah that is L'mala Mechav Amma is possible. And similarly, a menorah, a sukkah that is L'mala Mechav Amma is possible, and a mavui that is L'mala Mechav Amma is possible. So the simple understanding is, what's this Gemara of Aborek Ein Bo Mayim doing over here in the middle of Chanukah is just because it's the same Baal HaMemra, and that's the end of the story. That's the simple understanding. But we'll see, as we'll see momentarily, there might be a number of deeper connections that you find. Now, the Rishonim on that daf, the Ritva in particular, but others as well, point out that did the Shvatim, did the brothers know that there was snakes and scorpions in the pit? They clearly did not know. Why did they not know? So the simple understanding is because Reuven's agenda in throwing Yosef into the pit was to save his life. He was trying to save his life. They wanted to kill him. He was trying to save his life. And therefore, had he known that there were deadly scorpions, he would never throw him into the pit. And therefore, it seems quite clear that it was not to kill him. Moreover, there's a very famous Torah Tamima. Now, because Rav Wiles is here today, I'm going to tell you who the Torah Tamima is, because the Torah Tamima is a sefer that in our day, I'm a little older than Rabbi Wiles Shlita, but in my day, Torah Tamima was a staple sefer. We didn't learn a Gemara without a Torah Tamima. How many of you have ever opened up a Torah Tamima in your life? Okay, how many of you have, I'll tell you what the Torah Tamima is. First of all, the Torah Tamima was Rabbi Yechiel Epstein, who was a very, very, the nephew of the Netziv. And was a very prominent person. He was actually not a practicing rabbi. He was a businessman who also was an enormous, enormous Talmud Chacham. And he wrote a sefer called the Torah Tamima, among others. And the Torah Tamima is a masterful work where he basically says, it's a Chumash. And the Chumash quotes in the Chumash every single Maimer Chazal in Shas, Bavli, and Yerushalmi is brought down on the Pasuk. So you have a Pasuk, and now you have a chazal that is in the Gemara, Bavli Yerushalmi. He quotes the drush, he quotes the chazal, gives a quote, and then every drush, he has a little footnote or two, and then he explains how the Torah Shebaal Peh is derived from the Torah Shebichsav. And he develops a lot of interesting chidushim linking in. So why do I say this is a staple sefer for us back in the day? Because back in the day, Rav Wiles and I don't know if he's younger than me, but I grew up P-A-S, pre-art scroll. So we had the Sansino Gemaras, Gavaldiga Sansino Gemaras, but as he might tell you, and I will tell you, is the Aramaic was easier to get through than the English of the Sansino. So you're stuck with the Aramaic. And Rashi was our friend. Rashi was our very, very good friend. You didn't learn a Gemara without Rashi. There was no such thing as art scroll. And then you got these drushes. And a lot of times you learn the Gemara, and the Gemara doesn't even quote the full Pasuk. It quotes a little piece of the Pasuk. I even grew up in a day where the Rashis, today you open up a Gemara, the Rashi, Dibra Masla, is bolded. I grew up pre-bolded Rashi, Dibra Masla. Whoa, that is like very challenging. And I don't even know if there was a Torah or a Hashalom. We have the entire pasuk, but we looked up the psukim. You got a pasuk and a drasha, you looked up the pasuk. And sometimes you couldn't figure out what exactly the Gemara is saying in that drasha. So then you always went to Torah Tamima. You'd see the drasha, you'd see the explanation of the drasha, and it helped us as a tool in learning Gemara immensely. That was.
Why don't we use it anymore?
We do use it. You don't use it. But the reason we don't use it, as in, is because why do I need to work with a Torah Tamima when I can just go to the art school? That's why you don't use it. Or Safaria or Merkava or all of that stuff. But the Torah Tamima was the... We have it! Yes, of course we have it.
I would easily use Torah Tamima.
I will introduce you to the Torah Tamima. I will show you where it is and you will use it. Anyway, that is who the Torah Tamima was. The Torah Tamima was a genius. He was a genius, very, very sharp. While I'm here, since Rabbi Wild is here, I'll show you one other tidbit. He said that his Rebbe, one of his Rabbeim, is Rabbi J.J. Schachter. So Rabbi J.J. Schachter has an amazingly interesting article in one of the old Torah Mata journals, because the Torah Tanima also wrote another sefer called the Makor Baruch. And the Makor Baruch was like a kind of a biography, and autobiography of the Netziv, and a stories about the Netziv and what it was like growing up in that time in Europe. And that sefer, the Makor Baruch, was part of it was translated and published by Frumi kind of a publication, and it was called My Uncle Venetziv. That was the name of the sefer, My Uncle Venetziv. And a Lakewood Cheder, as a fundraiser, started to... Started to distribute this sefer around for donations. They, with an envelope, give us a donation, etc. And the sefer was distributed. And then someone actually took the time to read the English translation. And the English translation said some things about the Netziv, like he read newspapers, and maybe even on Shabbos he they all got flummoxed and flustered, and they had a recall. They had a recall of the sefer, and Baruch Hashem, I have it, and I would let you read it. Even it's any time a sefer gets recalled, it becomes much more interesting reading. So Rabbi J.J. Schachter wrote an article kind of discussing kind of the history and a very, very, and that was his teaser. Like, that's how he opened up the article, the history of the Makor Baruch, etc. In any event, that's what the Torah Tamima is. Okay, that's my introduction to the Torah Tamima. The Torah Tamima makes an unbelievable comment, a very famous comment. It's probably the most famous Torah Tamima that you have right here. And that is, he quotes a Gemara in Maseches Tami. And he quotes the Mefarish, the Rashi Maseches Tami, that says a line that anytime the Torah uses ein hashlacha, anytime the Torah uses a language of hashlacha, if there's a hashlacha, a throwing of it, it's talking about the karbanos, etc., ein hashlacha pachos michaf ama. When the Torah uses a language of hashlacha, it always means a minimum of 20 amos. What says the Torah Tamima did the brothers do with Yosef and the boar? What did they do? Is vayashlichu. They tossed him into the boar, which means a toss in Chazal means a minimum of 20 amos, says the Torah Tamima. 20 amos, if you have a sukkah l'mal mechaf ama, if you have a menorah l'mal mechaf ama, you're not yotze. Why not? Because lo shulta ba'ena, that's the immediate Gemara that we just saw in the name of Rav Kahana, in the name of Rabbi Tanchum, is that if you have a menorah l'mal mechaf, you're not yotze. Sukkah l'mal mechaf, you're not yotze. Why not? Because lo shulta ba'ena. You want to know why the brothers did not know that they were nechashim and akravim in the pit? Because it was vayashlichu. It was a toss. That means it was deeper than 20 amos. They couldn't see what was on the bottom of the pit. And that's how they didn't realize that that was what was going on in that pit. They had no terrible intentions of killing him. They just didn't were not aware. Okay, that is the comment that is made by the Torah Tamima. And that's why it's here. That's the juxtaposition of this Gemara in this Masecha, because right after we speak about Lamala Mechav, then we speak about Haborek Ein Bamayim. That's the second reason. See, it's not just because of the Bala Memra, but because the same Yesod of Eshim Amma is relevant to this case. Okay, that is another idea, a famous idea that Torah Tamima. But comes along, and what I want to develop is the next idea. And that is, if you take a look at the Pesukim in Parshas Vayechi, you will see that Yaakov Avinu dies. And the brothers go and they there's a period of Avelos for Yaakov Avinu, and then the brothers bring Yaakov Avinu from Mitzrayim all the way back to Eretz Yisrael for burial in Ma'arat HaMachpelah. And they bring him down, and then the brothers start to freak out. Why do they freak out? So the pasuk tells us that they got very, very nervous because they saw that now, Yosef is going to... Now that our father is dead, maybe the whole reason that Yosef did not come in after us is because of the covenant for Yaakov. But now that Yaakov's no longer, so now maybe Yosef is going to realize he's going to hate us, and he's going to go ahead and kill us. Now the Medrash comes along and says, what exactly brought Yosef, what brought the brothers to that realization all of a sudden? Okay, we buried our father. But was it just the burial of the father? So comes along the Medrash Tanchuma, and the Medrash Tanchuma says an unbelievable thing. He says, no, Yosef, they saw Yosef. Ooh, they're traveling. And Yosef said, guys, wait over here. I need to take a little bit of a detour. He went to take a detour, and where did he go? They recognized the place, and they saw this is the place. That's the pit that we threw Yosef into. And he's going to that pit, and he's now reminded of everything that transpired so many years ago. For sure he's going to come after us and kill us. That is what they were concerned about. The Medrash, however, says that that's not exactly what happened. Yosef did go back to that pit, but why did he go back to that pit? He went back to that pit because he wanted to make a bracha. He wanted to make a bracha. What bracha did he want to make? Is that he wanted to make a bracha of Sha'asa Lines B'Makom Hazeh. The Gemara Masechet Bracha says that when you have an anniversary of a nes that happened to you or your family, or you pass upon a place that you experienced a nes, you make a bracha Sha'asa Nis. Either anniversary or Makom Sha'asa Lecha Nes. So here Yosef was near that place, and he went ahead and made a bracha specifically there. That's the Medrash. I want to say this point. Did you notice I bolded the Medrash? It's a Medrash Tanchuma. Hold that point. Now comes along the Avudraham. The Avudraham. Who's the Avudraham? Rishon, Achron, late Achron, early Rishon, late Achron. The Avudraham is a Rishon. We don't know who authored the Avudraham, but he is a early Rishon. He's a Rishon. And the Avudraham has a very, very... The Avudraham is here. We'll read the Avudraham. In Birchas HaRe'iyah HaShevach V'Hodah. So he says, HaRoah Mokm Shenasu Bones Lisrok Gom. Ma'baros Yamsu, Ma'baros Hayardin, Ma'baros Nachle Arno, Kilts Behem, Sarah Litain Sheva, Dola Makom, and you say, Shasim, I will say, Ba'makom Hazeh. That's a Gemara Brachos. The cost of Arbenu Gershom, Rabbi Shlomo, Afa Gavdi Yisrael, Hoya Roa Makom Anais, the Anan Haroatna, Yeshon came to Roa Yisro. She told him, Minayam, Kamisha Roa Makom Anais. Okay, fine. So there's a bracha that you make when you pass the Makom Anais. Someone asked me, why don't we make a bracha now when we're by the Jordan River? The answer is, because we don't know exactly where they crossed on the Jordan River. We don't know exactly where they crossed on the Yam Suf, but if we did, we'd make this bracha, Sha'asa Neis Lavosein, but Makom Hazeh. Now go to where it's bolded, where it's underlined. Kosav Harav Asher Milunil. Hodim Evarchin. Ben Anisa de Rab, Ben Anisa de Yachid. Dafka Beneis. Shuyotze miminhag ha'olam, o miderech hatolada kegon ma'aborot hayam u'ma'aborot hayad v'adom elohem. Aba neshu minhag ha'olam v'tolda so, kegon shebolav ganav balayla, u'boli de sakana v'nifzal kiyotze bazeh, eno chav levarech shasali nes. Okay, so you don't have to make a bracha unless it's what kind of nes. What kind of nes? It's a nes that is yotze miderech hateva. A nes like Kriyas Yamsuf, a nes like Kriyas HaYarden, a nes like Yeser Makos. That's the type of nes that you're going to go ahead and make a bracha Sha'asli Nisim. However, on a nes that is Shelo Keneged HaTeva, if it's Bederech HaTeva, even though it's a nes, on that kind of nes, there is no bracha. Nes Nigle, no bracha. Sorry, nes Nigle, yes bracha. Nes Nistar, no bracha. Now, so therefore, he asks the question, what about Purim? Because Purim is classically known as Nes Nistar. So why do we make a bracha at the Megillah of Sha'asa Nisan? We make such a bracha. So he asks that question, and he gives an answer. You may not like the answer, but the fact that he's asking the question is he says as follows. In Toma, Hare Purim, Shegam, Shayones, Beminag Ha'olam, Mevarch Sha'asa Nisan, V'yeshomer Hasam Nami, Yot Minag Olam, Bibnei Shnei Dvarim. There is two aspects of the Nes Purim that were, if you will, Yotzami Darke Ha'olam. Number one, Shebitel Ksav HaMelech V'Hofak Das Parasumadai, is that the king overturned the entire religion of the country to reflect Esther and the Jewish people. V'Hasheni Shahara Kav Le'Elef Me'uma Soba V'Ur Abbas Isha Achas V'Ein Zem Minaka Olam V'Tivo. He says that, and Achashverosh killed thousands of people just because of his love of his own people, just because of his love of Esther, and that he calls a Nes Nigla. Now, you can quibble whether that's called a Nes Nigla or not, but that's what he suggests, and it's the Chanukah. And then he says when it comes to Chanukah, Lav Mishum Maisa Di Yehudis Mevarach Sha'asa Nisan, Ela Mishum Pach HaShemen, She'achos Mechosama Shalkon Gadav Lo Yelahadik El Yomecha V'Nasa Bo'Nes, V'Hidlik Shmone Yomim K'mais Eliyahu V'Elisha. And the reason we make a Sha'asa Nisan on Chanukah is because of specifically the Nes Pach HaShem, because that was a Nes that was Shiloh Bederech HaTeva. So far, so good. I want to just make one very, very important point, and is the most important point I have to make. If we think about Yosef's career, and you study the Parshios that we are going to be reading over the next couple of weeks, including this Shabbos, how many times does Hashem permeate these psukim? How many nisim gluyim does Yosef Hatzadik experience? Nope. Tell me something. Notice the story of Yosef. The story of Yosef is an incredible, incredible story. Okay, his brothers. First of all, how did he even find his brothers? Come to his brothers.
They came to him.
They didn't come to him. His father says, "Go find your brothers." And there's a, you call him a malach. Rashi says a malach, but let's call him what the Torah calls him, an ish. He's an ish, but he's out of nowhere. He's out of nowhere. Rashi says it was a miracle, but it was an ish. And what is this? He's lost or whatever. What does the ish say? Go, Dosina. Head over there. Like he's in the middle of nowhere. He's lost. Go there. He finally finds his brothers. He's united with them, and they want to. They want to kill him. They opt not to kill him. They throw him in a pit with snakes and scorpions. Okay? Somehow he's taken out of the pit, and what happens to him next?
He gets sold to
Arabs. He gets sold to? It's a little confusing. Yishmaelim, Medanim, Midyanim. A series of sales. And finally ends up where? What? Okay, he ends up where? He ends up in the house of? Potiphar. Who is Potiphar? He's a sar. He's a sar. He's a chash of a sar. And all of a sudden, the family is away. Everyone is away. The wife is around. Something happens. Yosef withdraws, pulls away, etc. And he's thrown into jail. 2 years in jail. Sar opens Sar Mashkin. They have dreams. He interprets dreams. Miraculously, they're exactly on the money. One of the Sarim gets killed, the other one, and then Paro has a tough time at night. He has a sleepless night. He's got scary dreams. And he needs someone. No one in Mitzrayim can interpret his dreams. Oh, but he hears about this. Sar tells him there's a guy in jail. He knows dreams. He can goes ahead and interprets the dream, nails it. Paro, your Tari says, you're pretty smart. I like what you're doing. Makes sense. Mishnah Lamelech. Mishnah Lamelech. And then his brothers finally famine in Eretz Canaan, and his brothers now reunite with him in Parshas Vayigash in the house of Paro. How in this whole story, this whole I'll say it, but I don't mean it. This whole Game of Thrones story. Like this whole Yosef ends up being the Mishnah Lamelech. The Mishnah Lamelech, and it goes in this whole winding story, and that's where he ends up. In that story, How many times is the Shem Hashem mentioned?
Not.
The answer is never. Not once. Not once. But things kind of meander in a perfect way. Yosef gets to Mitzrayim, and ultimately we know that this is the fulfillment of what? Of the Bris Bein HaBasarim. That was earlier to Avraham Avinu, that your offspring is going to get to Mitzrayim in a foreign land, V'inu V'ivdu Osam, and that's how they're going to become a great nation. And this all happens to Yosef. Yosef only, now everything, if you really have your eyes open, you say, whoa, this is like an incredible story. He's a Mishnah Lamelech. That's an incredible story, how he got there, interpreting dreams, etc. But there's only one place where he makes a bracha of Sha'asa Nisim. He only makes a bracha of Sha'asa Nisim where? By the pit. Why? Because everything else is Derech HaTeva. Everything else was Hashem, the master puppeteer. But everything was B'Derech HaTeva. The one place where Nechashim V'Akravim, and the Gemara Yevamah says, Nechashim V'Akravim means you're dead. If a husband is found in a pit with Nechashim V'Akravim, his wife can remarry. Because that's like proof positive he's not going to make it. And Yosef made it. That was the place he makes a bracha Sha'asa Nisim, corroborating this vision of the Avud Raham. That says, when do you make the bracha? Only on a neis nigla, not on a neis shebederech hateva. The Maharal says the same exact point in his parish on the Megillah, on Chanukah, and he says, the old Yesomar, she'ikar ma shekavu yemei Chanukah. And now it's perhaps tied into Chanukah. Why do we have the neis of Chanukah? What is it all about? Now we know full well, how many nisim are there in Chanukah? There are two major nisim. There's the neis of the Nitzachon and the army, and the neis of the Pach Shem. And says the Maharal, Od Yeshom, she'ikar ma shekavu yemei Chanukah. Why did Chazal make a neis of Chanukah, a holiday of Chanukah? Because we had this nice flask of oil. Is that why?
No.
It's not why. It's not why at all. The reason for the Chag of Chanukah is because the Chashmonaim somehow redeemed the Beis HaMikdash and defeated the Yavanim. The Ol Yeshom She'ikar Ma Shekavu Yemei Chanukah B'Shul Shoyim Menatz Kmes HaYavanim. Rak! In other words, what the Maharal is saying is, did we really need the nes of the Pach Shemen? It wasn't necessary. In a certain sense, it was orchestrated. It was put there artificially, so that the real nes would be revealed. And when, as a result of the miraculous nes Pach Hashem, that revealed, that went ahead and brought to the fore the fact of the Nitzachon in the Milchama. Mashal Amah HaDavar Domeh. Was the Six-Day War a nes?
Yes.
People will tell you that the Six-Day War, and they say, that in West Point and military academies, they do not study the Six-Day War. They study all wars, not the Six-Day War. Not true? True? I don't know. Either way, it doesn't matter. The point is that it was unusual. It was remarkable. It was special. But it's very easy to kind of explain it away. And people try and explain it away. But if there was a Nes Goli that was associated therewith, that would reveal the other things involved. So says the Maharal, the Nes Goli of Ner Chanukah reveals the Nitzachon as a Nes as well. And now to tie it back together, says the...
It wasn't the Shoah that Muhammad was a Nes.
It was to show that it was Min HaShamayim.
Right, but when we say Shoah Sinisim, we're not saying it on the Muhammad.
We're not saying it on the... Sha'as HaNisim, right, correct. Sha'as HaNisim is on the Neis Pach Hashem. But you'll notice, Haneros Halalu,
yeah.
I'm sorry, Al HaNisim, we speak, Al HaNisim is all about
right. The
Nitzachem.
Sorry, I know. So what I'm saying is that, like, I don't know why this is ridiculous. Would anybody have thought that Muhammad was not really the Iker Neis? think everybody would have.
Yeah, but if you ask the average person, why do we have the average child and the average person even, why do we have the Chag of Chanukah? The answer is because the oil lasted for 8 days. That would be the average answer. And that's what the Maharal is coming to say otherwise.
I think anybody who thinks will know that, like, anybody who understands what that war was.
Could be. It could be, you're right, but the average person. Now look at the Meshech Chachma. The Meshech Chachma puts this all together. There's a Meshech Chachma in this week's parasha. The Habor Reik, let me just read the Meshech Chachma. Habor Reik in Bomai. Haroa Mokum Shanasel Ones, Baruch Shasli Days Mokmazet. Haperish Kedivri Avudraham. So he says that the nace of the boar was a nace of Derech HaTeva. That's where Yosef made this bracha. And tochas from Amma, etc. Now he says, and that's the pshat. That's the pshat in why this Gemara of Haborek and Bomayim is specifically in the sugyas of Chanukah. And who was the author of the medrash that says Yosef Davka went back to the boar? It was a medrash Tanchuma. And who is the author of the Baal HaMemra over here? It's Rav Kahana in the name of Rabbi Tanchum. It's the same Tanchum. It's the same Baal HaMemra who is telling you, yes, sometimes you'll have a juxtaposition of a Nes Nigla with that which is going on, Hashem as the master puppeteer orchestrating things. And they're juxtaposed. And the Borek Ein Bomayim is there to reveal that everything that happened with Yosef was Hashem. Similarly, the same idea when it comes to Nes Chanukah, the Pach Shemen, was to reveal the Nitzachon. And that's exactly what he says. Vezesh Omar, in the underlined section, Vezesh Omar Rabbi Tanchum, Avon Nechosh Akrav Miyeshbo, Vaya Nes Yotz Midet Miteva Olam, Laze Birech, Velama Nismichu Shnei Ma'amari Rabbi Tanchum. Rabbi Tanchum of the Medrash is the same Rabbi Tanchum, this Baal HaMemra, and it all comes together. It's a very, very famous question that everyone knows, the famous question of the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef has the kasha, we celebrate 8 days of Chanukah. How long was the Nes Pach HaShemen for? It was for, the Nes was?
7 days,
because they had one Pach. So there's a lot of different answers given. There's a Sefer written, the 101 answers to this question. Now, is this the Beis Yosef's question? The Beis Yosef made it famous. But the Tosfos HaRosh asked this question well before the Beis Yosef. Look at source number 13. The Tosfos HaRosh says, in our sugya, you had 8 days of what? Of candlelight. Vim Tomar. Veloma kabu shmonas yom alonais lohayim kim shiva yom. Because there was a one path for one night. So he gives three answers. Vie shlomar. Shechelkwes a path lishmona. So maybe they already knew it would take them 8 days. So they divided the path into 1/8. And every single night was an ace. Answer number one. Inami. They put the entire oil in the menorah, and how much burnt on the first night? Nothing. And that was an ace. Inami, it fully burnt on the first night. Sorry. It burnt fully on the first night, but somehow it was also then refilled by itself. And that was already...
But it only refilled 7 times.
Inami, la'achashay malay. That was the. I'm sorry.
The moment that he poured it in, the pot refilled.
It refilled, right. Okay. And whatever answers you give, but perhaps one could suggest, and you all know there's a famous Gemara, I don't remember where, about Rav Chanina ben Dosa. And Rav Chanina ben Dosa speaks about they didn't have oil. So what did they do? They used. He's water, and all of a sudden the...
Was it vinegar?
Vinegar. And the vinegar lit. And Rav Chanina ben Dosa was not at all impressed. Why was he not impressed? Because just like Hashem makes oil, why should oil be a fuel? Hashem makes oil light, so too Hashem makes vinegar light. So perhaps we could suggest, in light of this yesod, is that even oil lighting is a nes that is worthy of recognition. And that, sure, it's a nes that is so common, we see it all the time, so we no longer think of it as a nes. A nes, to be recognized as a nes, has to be a nes b'derech hateva, but even oil lighting should be recognized as a nes. A normal nace, a nace nistar, but it too is a nace, and therefore perhaps an extra night of nisa. Now, with all this in mind, what?
Why ala nisim if it's not?
No, ala nisim is because of milchama.
It's not. We said that you only make ala nisim.
No, I'm not saying that ala nisim. He's saying, why do we have a Hanukkah for 8 days? Why not have Hanukkah for 7 days? I understand what he's saying.
7 days, not 8.
Okay. Ain't Shalom Ala Jerush. I'm just sharing a thought. One sec. Now, I got to read to you and share with you the most famous Ramban Ala Torah. You've seen this Ramban before, but it's a very, very fundamental Ramban, and it's a Ramban on Parshas Bo. What? The Ramban on Parshas Bo.
Let me just sum up what the Meshech Chachma.
I will sum up. The Meshech Chachma basically says everything we said. The Meshech Chachma and the Man Amar are both saying that Chanukah is really a double nace. It's a nace of the Nitzachon and a nace of Pach Shemin. The Iker nace is really the nace of the Nitzachon. But the role of the Pach Shemin is to reveal. And we do not make brachos, and we do not make chagim. We make a chag on nes of Nitzachon, but the brachos shasanisim is on the nes of the Pach Shemin, and the nes of the Pach Shemin reveals. And that's exactly the connection to Yosef. Because, again, bringing it home, why Yosef's whole life was a life of nes. It was all miraculous. And if you look at the pasuk, which is worthy of seeing, the pasuk is found in Vayigash Perek Memhei, Pasuk Zayin and Ches. After he finally reveals himself to his brothers, and his identity is opened up, what does Yosef say to his brothers? Listen to this. He says, but the way he says it is striking. He says, "V'yishlichenu Elokim lifnechem. Hashem has brought me in front of you. I'm here because Hashem put me here. It wasn't you who sent me down, who sold me and threw me into a pit. All of that was not you. Yosef recognizes exactly the hashkacha and the Yad Hashem that permeated every facet of his life. Did he make a bracha on every facet? No, he only makes a bracha when? By the boar. But that theme of seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu even in the regular, in the nature, in the normal, is revealed when you have the nes nigla. That's what the Meshech Chachma is saying about the boar vis-a-vis the rest of Yosef's life, and that is the connection to Ner Chanukah versus the Nitzachon. The Ramban Ala Torah, this is like must reading, very, very, very famous. And the Ramban says, we put on tefillin every single day. And the tefillin is Vahayu Laos Al Yadcha Ulatotafos Beninecha Ki Bechose Gyat Hotzino Hashem Mitzrayim. So Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim Bechose Gyat, and that's why we wear tefillin. And Ma Kesha, what's the Kesha? We have so many mitzvos that are Zecher Liyetzias Mitzrayim. And Mitzrayim plays such a prominent place in everything that we do. Chag HaPesach and Shabbos and tefillin and tzitzis. There's so many mitzvos that we have. So he says, "Va'ata omer l'cha klal betamitz rabos." He named Eis Hayos. Avoras gilulim ba'olam. Me enosh echelu hadeus l'shtabes be'emuna. Mehem hakofrim be'ikar va'omrim ki ha'olam kadmam. Kachashu ba'ashem va'yom alohu. Umehem makhishim b'yidiyaso apratis. Va'omru echa yeda keel v'yesh deya be'elyom. Umahu sheyodu b'yidiyo makhishim ha'ashkoch v'yasu adam kidgayam. Shalei ashkiach ha'keel ba'hem. So as a result of Avodah Zarah and people going off, they came to the realization that there's no God, there's no Hashkocha, and people are just like Degei Hayam, the fish of the sea. And they'll say, Ozav Hashem is Haaretz. V'kasher yirtza Elokim be'eda o b'yachid v'yasi imam mofes b'shinim in hagash ha'olam v'tivo yizbar lakol pitol ha'deus ha'elu kulam ke'amofes ha'nifla mora she'es la'olam elo'a mechadesho v'yodea mashkiach v'yachol. Why does Hashem do nisim? And why do we have occasional nisim here and there? Because the nisim reveal the existence of God. And God is there, and He does things, and He is mashkiach, and therefore you have nisim that emerge. And he says, however, and this is the, what? Nes Nigla reveals God. And then he says, again, I'm skipping to where it's underlined. Im kein, ha'osos babat. But the nisim are there to reveal the everyday hashkacha. And he says, Im kein ha'osos v'hamofsim ha'gedolim, eidim ne'emanim be'emunas ha'borei uv'torah kula. Hashem is not going to do a nes willy nilly. Hashem is a kel nistater. He does hide himself. And he's not going to do a nes for any Joe Shmo, any Rosh of a kofir. But every so often, every here and now, he makes a nes. And that nes reveals from the nisim hagdolim, hamofsim hagdolim, those are edus ne'mana to emuna b'Hashem. And then he says, we have all of these mitzvot, mezuzah, and kriyat shema, and tefillin, and Pesach, and Shabbos, to remind ourselves of these nisim gluyim. And kiakone mezuzah bezuz echad v'kava v'pischo v'niskaven b'inyana kvar hode b'chidush ha'olam uv'yediyas habor v'ashkoch haso v'gam b'nevua v'emin b'chol pinas hator milvachu shechesar bor ha'god ma'od ha'osu ritzono. It is a, by putting on a mezuzah and by thinking of Hashem and Mitzrayim, when you walk into your house and when you put on tefillin and when you say kriyat shema, it all reveals the existence, the reality of the Borei. And then, in perhaps the most famous lines that the Ramban ever wrote, he says, "Shebekol shah adam mode b'hen le'elokav, v'kavanas kol ha'mitzah shenam b'elokeinu, v'node elav shubarenu, v'kavanas ha'yetzira." Sorry, that's not the one I'm talking about. That's not the next one. "U'min ha'nisim ha'gedolim, ha'mifusamim, adam mode b'nisim ha'nistarim." Shem Yisod HaTorah Kula. She'en lo Adam Chela v'Torah Smosh Rabbeinu Ad Shenamin b'chol divareinu u'mikreinu shekulam nisim. Ein bohem tev v'nagol shel olam b'en b'rab b'en b'yachid. In other words, as a result of the nisim gluyim, the mitzrayims, the Chanukahs, perhaps the other miracles that we see, the Medinat Yisrael, whatever you might identify as a nes galuy, the idea that B'nai Yisrael, from the ashes of Auschwitz, a destroyed people, 70 years later, can have an economy that's stronger than the United States of America, a shekel that's killing the dollar, v'chadome. So all of that reveals, the nisim gluyim reveal a unique hashgacha. And he says, that, and this is a famous Ramban, a controversial Ramban, that really there's no such thing as teva. There's no such thing as nature. Everything that happens is the Yad Hashem, and that has to be, the Nisim Gluyim reveal the daily constant Nisim Nistar. And I will tell you that as the owner of a backyard, and I observe my backyard religiously, and especially the orange tree, I am a religious observer of the orange tree. And to watch that orange tree from July until Chanukah, and to see what's going on, like from a piece of wood to a piece of wood and dirt, wood. And after dirt, wood, it grows, and then there's green and there's leaves. From dirt and wood comes green. And from the green comes this little, in August, a little white flower. Smells great. A little white flower. And then the petals of that white flower fall off. And then there's little, tiny, little something. And then it starts to slowly grow and grow and grow and green and greener and green and bigger and then starts to turn
orange.
Yellow and then into this rich orange, and then I happily pluck it off my tree and I consume it with a bracha. And yes, yes, Rav Dessler writes, famous Rav Dessler, nature, it's nature, it's nature. If you went into a cemetery and in the middle of the night you see these rocks moving, these boulders, these big tombstones moving, and something growing out of the cemetery, you freak out, you run away very quickly. But we see rocks moving all the time as plants grow, as things grow. And yes, it happens all the time. And because of its frequency, says Rav Dessler, we see it, it's nature, we're not impressed. And when women have babies, we're not impressed. And when babies grow, and when you have something, a two-celled little embryo, somehow becomes a human being with lungs and eyes and ears and v'chule, and we're not impressed. It's what happens. It's nature. That's the way it goes. So it's true. It's the way it goes. So the question that Rav Dessler poses, an interesting question, and I don't have an answer to this question, but he says, what's more impressive? A Kriyas Yamsuf that happened once, or a baby being born that happens every day, countless times every single day? Is because it's frequent. Because of its frequency, it loses its miraculousness. So lose its miraculous. So again, on the one hand, you could argue, yes, once it's a pattern, and then it's no longer nace, that this is teva, this is nature. So argues the Ramban, and argues Rav Dessler more contemporarily, is that things that are nature, the more frequent is actually more impressive. The one-time event, nice, perfect, beautiful, and we'll say a sha'asa nisim, because it's a nes nigla. But the constant sha'asa li nes, ba'amimahim bazman hazeh, that's what's ultimately celebrated on Hanukkah. That's this message of Sipurei Yosef. So this is a time of where we celebrate miracles. It's a time of sha'asa nisim, and again, it all depends on your vantage point. It all depends on how you look at the world. You can look at the world and say nature, and Hashem hides himself. What's the word teva?
Nature.
Teva means nature. But when someone drowns, what do we say? Svinaso tovea bayam. He's sunken. Hashem's is sunken in nature. He's hidden in nature. What is the word olam? Where does the word olam come from?
Hidden.
He'elam. He is hidden. He's ne'elam. He's not visible. He's hidden in nature. So you can go on the streets of Mevaseret, you can look out the window and you can see sunsets, and you can say, wow, that's a cool, it's cool. Mother Nature is awesome. Or you can go ahead and see what's behind. That's the challenge. It's a nisayon. It's a nisayon. But the role of the Nes Nigla says, the Meshech Chachma, the Abu Draham, the Ramban, the Maral, and others, is to reveal the Nes Nigla. That's perhaps a connection between the stories of Yosef on the one hand and the story of Hanukkah on the other. Have a wonderful Shabbos Kodesh. Have a wonderful day.
Rebbe, you said, did Rebbe just go through the Shiva night?
Rebbe, how did they know the oil was tahor?